Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to a brand new episode of the Face Turn Podcast. My name is Noah Trombley, joined, as always, by Mike Punmaster Rifkin and Lawrence Patchman Lang. Gentlemen, how you guys doing tonight?
Doing all right. How are you?
Doing all right. Could be better. Like I said, seasonal allergies are kicking my ass right now, but that's a story for another time. But so tonight, we're going to do our NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver and WrestleMania 37 predictions. That's going to be the main part of the show. But we got a couple things I want to touch on before we get to the main part of the show. And the first one is going to be about, Mike, one of your favorite superstars, I think, who was currently going on right now, and that is Andrade. Andrade, about, was it 2 weeks ago? Or last week? Last week, 2 weeks ago, between that time frame. It was reported that he had asked for his WWE release, and sure enough, he got it. Andrade was officially released from his contract. He is no longer with WWE. There have been conflicting reports on if he has a 90-day no-compete clause or not. I'm going to guess he does, since he hasn't done anything yet. Or maybe he's just waiting for the perfect time. But Mike, I'll start with you. Just what is your initial reaction to Andrade being released?
It's about time. You haven't done anything with the guy, and we forget he's around. So it's fine. It was a waste of talent there for sure, but good for him on getting released. Hopefully he does something soon.
All right, Patchman, what was your initial reaction?
Long overdue. The man hasn't been used in X amount of months. Yes, he's engaged to Charlotte Flair, but, you know, long overdue. Hopefully Aleister Black is next to get out of this, you know, back of catering.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that back was the... That was a funny thing, is that so many people thought, oh, because he's engaged to Charlotte, like, oh, he's going to be pushed to the moon now, and they're going to be paired together, and yada, 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 and nope, it was, like, the complete opposite direction for him.
There was also a report saying he turned down an offer to go back to NXT. I don't know how true that is. That was just something I saw.
Yeah, there's some rumors going around right now. I guess he was offered to go back down, but he said, no, I know what's waiting for me after NXT. So, no, I'm out of here. I want out. So, two questions to you guys real quick. One, where does Andrade go? And two, does Zelina Vega, the Tia Trinidad, I believe that's her name, I'm probably butchering that so badly, the former Zelina Vega, does she go with him? Michael, start with you.
Okay. I hope she does go with him. I think that would make a lot of sense. Where does he go? I mean, the easier answer is probably AEW, but I'll go all under the radar. I'll say Ring of Honor.
Interesting. Pastor, what about you?
Excuse me. She does not follow, and Adriana will be going to AAA.
I was thinking that, too. I was thinking AAA, but I did, after a little bit of thinking, I think... he's going to go to New Japan. I think he's going to go overseas. I think he's going to try to tear it up there with the likes of Okada and Tanahashi and Jay White. I think he's going to tear it up over there. I'm 50-50 right now on whether Zelina Vega is going to go with him. I could see where she would want to go with him, maybe kind of rekindle that relationship. But at the same time, I could see her, like, she's just happy with what she has. She's happy with streaming. She's happy with her OnlyFans account, which, no judgment there. So I think she's happy where she is. So I think I'm going to go with she's not going to go with him. But I think he's going to go tear it up in New Japan for a little bit, at least the beginning part. He might go to AEW, AAA, or something like that, but I think he'll go tear it up in New Japan for a little bit, kind of do the territory he hasn't done yet to try to do some new exposure there. All right, and speaking of other companies, let's talk about AEW real quick. So about 3 weeks ago, there was a, quote, Inner Circle War Council held with all the members. That's Jericho, MJF, Pride and Powerful, Wardlow, and Jake Hager. And they're talking and all this stuff. They're talking about how there's a weak link and all this stuff like that. Sammy Guevara comes out, reveals video footage of MJF trying to plot against Jericho. But it's a double cross. Jericho's like, we're stronger than ever. We knew you were the weak link. We're going to kick you out. And then MJF says, well, that's good. I want out because I've been building an army of my own. And out come FTR, Sean Spears, Wardlow, and was there one more member?
Tully Blanchard.
Tully Blanchard. So the four of them come out. They start beating up the Inner Circle. And so now MJF has his own faction, which is called the Pinnacle. So it's now the Pinnacle versus the Inner Circle. It's gang warfare, basically. Michael, start with you. Your reaction to MJF and what you think about him forming the Pinnacle.
I think this is overdue, too, because when MJF is a guy who should be a mouthpiece for someone. Obviously, he back it up in the ring as well, but I feel like this should have been done earlier, as like when the Million Dollar Man just paid people off. And he just pays people to join his
stable.
So, and this is a group of guys who need to do something. I don't know what FTR was doing. And Sean Spears as well. And also, I hope this focuses a little bit more on Wardlow. Because Wardlow deserves to be pushed to the moon as well. Ooh. So I think if he breaks off a little bit on his own at some point. But I love this idea. I think it's really cool.
Patrick, what about you?
It's a fantastic idea. Yes, you know, AEW is going the stable route with everyone. Okay, you're in a stable. You're in a stable. Hey, you're in this stable. No, you're in this stable. Well, then again, it's great because now we can build up a MJF Chris Jericho feud that's going to pay off at one of the pay-per-views. Hopefully MJF goes over and we get the rise of MJF and hopefully a rise in a AEW title run.
I wanted to throw a question to you real quick, Patchy, because you came up with the idea, and I think you were talking about it for a long time, that you thought that the way this was going to go was the Inner Circle was going to turn on Jericho, and then MJF was going to be his new leader. Do you prefer this idea more, or do you would have rather, like, I'm not saying this idea is bad in your opinion, but would you have rather had done the Inner Circle turning on Jericho thing?
I can go both ways. I would love to see, you know, the Inner Circle just turn on Jericho and then they beat down Jericho and then Jericho has to come back and it's the rise of Jericho again. Jericho goes over MJF. But I love this route with MJF now. It's now because, all right, fine. Now we get more people involved. And now it has that NWO, NW Wolfpack feel to it. Where now it's everyone going to be going at each other.
Mm-hmm. So, Mike, same question to you.
It's wish-wash, but you know what? I like the idea of what they did and had MJF, you know, make Pinnacle. Go ahead.
Mike, same question to you. Would you have rather them gone with the Inner Circle turning on Jericho, or are you satisfied with this?
I'm satisfied with this. You could tell early on that the other Inner Circle members never really trusted MJF. So I like this direction as well. So this is fine with me.
Okay. All right. So now that we've gotten those two bits of news out of the way, let's get into our main event of the evening, which is, of course, our predictions for both NXT Stand and Deliver, which is going to be tomorrow night and Thursday night, and WrestleMania 37, which will be this Saturday and Sunday. Let's start with NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver. Let's go to night one, and we're going to start off with a singles match between Pete Dunne and Kushida. Mike, who you got?
I'm going to go with Pete Dunne here, although I wouldn't be shocked if they went Kushida and try to elevate him into maybe North American title status, but I'll go with the Bruiserweight here.
Patchman?
The Bruiserweight all the way. Let's break some fingers.
I'm actually going the route that Mike kind of said the other way around. I'm actually going to go with Kushida here. I think Kushida's been kind of middling in the mid-card. I think he needs a signature win to push him up to the top because Pete Dunne's already there for me. So I think the smartest route, I think the route they're going to go is to have Kushida go over, which just for you guys, I don't know if you guys are, but this is my like most – like other than like the two main events, like this is my most looked forward to match. This match is going to be fun.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I think this show is going to be killer. So.
This show is really going to be killer. I really am going to enjoy the show. All right, up next for the NXT United Kingdom Championship, we have Walter defending against Tommaso Ciampa. Patchman, does Ciampa walk out the new UK champion?
No. It's going to be a knife-edge chop to the chest. And down goes Ciampa. Walter continues the historic reign, pushing the 700th day mark as champion.
All right. Mike, do you agree with him?
I do. I think this might be the most physical match of the night, outside of maybe the unsanctioned match. But this is going to be fun. I'm going to go with Walter retaining.
I'm going to complete the sweep here. I'm going to go with Walter retaining as well, I think. Putting it on Ciampa, he doesn't really need it. I think someone in the UK brand actually just has to be the one to take it from him. So Walter, I think, is going to retain. All right, and up
Ciampa
next.
Ciampa needs to shave his head. He needs to get rid of the grandpa look.
Yeah, right. Okay, up next, it's a six-man gauntlet eliminator match where the winner will receive a NXT North America Championship match against Johnny Gargano the next night, which will be Thursday. It's Leon Ruff versus Isaiah Swerve Scott versus Bronson Reed versus Cameron Grimes versus Dexter Lumis versus LA Knight. I'm going to start off this one. I think they're going to go with the debuting guy. I'm going to go with LA Knight, the former Eli Drake. I think this is a guy they have a lot of stock behind. I think they're really, which by the way, that name is horrible. LA Knight, just goddamn, that's god awful. But I think they have a lot of stock in Eli Drake, the former Eli Drake, and I think they're going to push him hard here. I'm going to go with LA Knight winning this. Mike, how about you?
I'm going with Dexter Lumis because that just seems to be right after him kidnapping Austin Theory and the other stuff. It seems like it's going to be Lumis. The guy it should be is Cameron Grimes because that guy's really entertaining as hell.
Well, he's loaded. Of course he's entertaining. He's freaking loaded.
He's hilarious.
He is great. All right, Patchman, what about you?
The obvious pick here is LA Knight, but I'm in the same boat as Rifkin. I want Dexter Lumis to win this.
Okay. Up next, it's a triple threat match for the vacant NXT Tag Team Championships. Obviously, these were held by Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch, but unfortunately, Danny Burch suffered a very serious injury. Best of luck to him in his recovery, and they were forced to vacate the championship, so we have a triple threat match to determine new Tag Team Champions. It's MSK of Wesley and Nash Carter versus Grizzled Young Veterans, which is James Drake and Zach Gibson from that UK, versus Legado del Fantasma, which is what's his name?
They're the guys with Santos Escobar.
Yes, Escobar. They're the muscle behind Santos Escobar. So it's those three teams for the vacant tag team championships. Mike, who you got?
Okay. First of all, I want to point out though, if Lorcan, Burch, and Pete Dunne were a stable, couldn't Lorcan and Dunne just become the tag champs?
Yeah, that's an interesting thought, but
I guess not for you, bro. I'm going with MSK. They just won the Dusty Cup. Let's put the belts on MSK.
Patchman, you agree?
Yeah, MSK for the win.
I'm going to complete the sweep. I'm going to go MSK, too. They've been strapping the rocket to them. They're a really, really fun tag team. They're a team that you could tell they could build a division around these two guys. Put the titles on them and let them go for a good solid 6 months or something. I'm going to go with MSK. All right, and the main event of night one, it is Io Shirai defending the NXT Women's Championship against Raquel Gonzalez with Dakota Kai. Patriot, who you got?
Raquel. It's time for Io Shirai to get the call up, move on, and now it's time for the rise, the new rise of, what'd you say again? I spaced out for a second.
Raquel Gonzalez.
Raquel Gonzalez. It's time for the rise of Raquel Gonzalez. Please edit that out.
Mike, how about you?
I'm going Raquel Gonzalez also. It's time for Io to drop the belt. As much as I don't want to see her go to the main roster, mainly because I don't know what they're going to do when they're on the main roster. But I'm going with Raquel Gonzalez.
Going to complete the sweep with Raquel Gonzalez. I think she walks out the new champion. Io Shirai, I think she'll be fine on the main roster. I think she's got a killer gimmick and just a killer style that I think even Vince can't deny, like, at least for the first couple years. Who knows what they'll do with her later, but I'm going to go with Gonzalez walks out new champion, especially because Dakota Kai will be at ringside. All right. And we move on to night two of NXT Stand and Deliver. It is Ember Moon. The first match is Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart defending the NXT Women's Tag Team Championships against The Way, consisting of Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell. I'm going to start off this one. I'm going to go with Moon and Blackheart retaining. They just put the belts on them. They introduced these things to Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez, and then literally because they want Gonzalez in the main event of with Io Shirai, they take the titles right off them the first night they defend them. If they do this again, they're gonna make the same mistake they did with the original women's tag team titles. They need to have strong champions to start off. So I'm gonna give Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart. I think they're gonna get a big defense here. Mike, you agree?
I'm going The Way. One, it's a great fastball song. Two, Candice LeRae should have been the NXT Women's Champion already, so she kind of deserves this. Three, it's the women's tag team titles. They juggle them on the main roster. Why should I think NXT's any different?
Because NXT's usually different. Patrick, do you agree with Mike or me?
I with Mike. It's the good old game of hot potato with now these titles. It's going to be, all right, you're going to get them for 2 weeks now. And agreed, you know, she should have already been NXT Women's Champion. And they dropped the ball with that.
And I think we're also underestimating that The Way is a great song by the band Fastball. And that is the main reason why they should win.
Absolutely. All right, up next it's a ladder match for the undisputed NXT Cruiserweight Championship as Jordan Devlin takes on Santos Escobar. Now, what happened was Jordan Devlin won the title about a year and a half ago, but because of the COVID-19 pandemic, he wasn't able to come over to the United States to defend it in NXT. So they gave a new title to Santos Escobar, and now this, because the travels open back up, this match will determine the undisputed Cruiserweight Champion. Mike, who walks out undisputed champion?
Well, and it's a ladder match because Shawn Michaels came out and just pushed the ladder into the ring.
Yeah.
That was the most important part of this whole thing. I'm going to go with Jordan Devlin. Because Escobar has basically beaten everyone else. Have Jordan Devlin win. Have him fight some of the other guys who Escobar's already beaten.
Okay. Patchman, do you agree?
Yeah, I have. Because, you know, yes, Santos Escobar is doing great, but, you know, the kid never got a chance to, you know, hold the title and defend it because of the coronavirus. So let's put it back on him and run the course.
Yeah, I'm completing the sweep here. I'm going to go Devlin as well. Like you guys said, I think he never got a chance to defend it, and Santos Escobar has had a solid 10 month reign with the belt. So I think they're going to give it back to Devlin and let him run with it for a few months. All right. Up next, we have for the NXT North American Championship, I have Johnny Gargano versus LA Knight. You two have Johnny Gargano versus Dexter Lumis. Mike, who wins?
I'm gonna go with Gargano, mainly because he's Johnny Takeover, but also because of the way he'll find a way to win.
Okay, Patchman, what about you?
I'm going with the upset. I'm taking the winner of the Gauntlet, regardless of who wins, and we get a new North American champion.
I'm going the Johnny Gargano route because I think LA Knight's going to win, so I think they're going to have Gargano kind of just screw him out of it because it's heel versus heel, so they can use some trickery to the way he can use some trickery to get Johnny Gargano out with his title. All right, in your semi-main event of night two, it is a match years and years in the making as Adam Cole takes on Kyle O'Reilly in an unsanctioned match. This feud has been building since Adam Cole turned on Kyle O'Reilly at Vengeance Day. These two have been getting into a really heated war of words. You know, Cole says, you know, Undisputed Era was all about us. Kyle O'Reilly says, you were my best friend, kind of all that stuff. They're going to blow it off here in an unsanctioned match. Patchman, who walks out the victor?
Adam Cole, Bay Bay.
Interesting. Mike, how about you?
I feel like Cole's established enough to where you can go with O'Reilly, but I think you want to elevate Cole back to the title scene, so I'm going to go with Adam Cole as well.
Wow, I think this is the easiest one to pick. I'm definitely going Kyle O'Reilly. I think because he didn't win, he's lost a bunch of matches lately, and I think they really want to get him up in a single star. I think they're going to give him a huge win here to cement his status. I'm going to go with Kyle O'Reilly. He's going to
beat...
What
if Bobby Fish comes back and tries to help O'Reilly? Then you have Fish and O'Reilly back together.
I'd love that. I think that'd be a great poet, poetic end to this feud by having Bobby Fish come back and say, listen, Adam, you're not right, you know, blah, 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 and have the, what were they called, the Red Dragons?
They were Red Dragon.
Red Dragon, get them back together and let them possibly go, you know what, bring them up to the freaking main roster and let them rebuild the tag division.
Well, someone has to.
I mean, if you're gonna trust two guys to rebuild the tag division around, Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish are two very good guys to build a division around. Put them on Raw, Street Profits on SmackDown, just rebuild the tag division.
Have them fight the Mysterios for the tag titles.
Yeah, we'll get to that. And up next is your main event of the whole show, basically, because it's night two. It is Finn Balor defending the NXT Championship against Karrion Kross, the title that he never lost, that being Kross. He goes back, he's going for the title once again as he takes on the Prince, Finn Balor. I'm going to go first on this one. This is tough because we've heard the rumors that I think Kross is going to get called up pretty quickly. So that would make me think that Balor retains. But on the other hand, I think Kross needs to get his run as NXT champion. So I'm gonna go new NXT champion Karrion Kross. Wins back the title he never lost. Mike, what about you?
I'm going Kross as well, just because he never truly lost the belt. Although if Finn wins, Finn wins. But this is going to be awesome as well.
Mm-hmm, this will be really good. Pastor, how about you? Completing the sweep?
Gotta complete the sleep. It's time for Karrion Kross to have a rightful reign as NXT champion.
All right. And so with that is all our NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver predictions. We move on to WrestleMania 37, a.k.a. the worst-built WrestleMania in history because it only had 3 weeks. Yay! Can we just talk about that for a split second? Can we just talk about how bad this build has been? This build has been horrible. They've built up like 3 matches. That's it. Every other match has been just kind of thrown together and just like, here you go. This is WrestleMania. It's like, God dang it, guys. What are you doing?
I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens.
No, I'm not because it's got Logan Paul in it and that dude ruins everything he touches.
Ask Japan. He's not even related to Chris Paul.
Yeah, well, ask Japan. Bastard. All right, whatever. All right, moving on. Can't get ranty here. Up first, we have a tag team turmoil match where the winner receives a women's tag team title match the next night as Lana and Naomi take on Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose, take on the Riot Squad, that being Liv Morgan and Ruby Riott, versus Natalya and Tamina. Mike, who moves on to face Baszler and Jax?
Okay, so it's only, to me, it's only down to two teams, so it's either going to be Lana, Naomi, or Natalya and Tamina. They've been building the Lana, Naomi stuff for months, so I'm going to go with Lana and Naomi for no real reason.
Patrick, how about you? Patchman, you are muted.
Oh, I am muted. My bad. You know, sorry. Doing other business stuff with other podcasts, texting other co-hosts from other shows.
You're fine.
But I'm going to go with Natalya and Tamina. If anyone paid attention to Talking Smack last week, Paul Heyman basically let the two have it and said, you know what? You're acting like bitches. Your father would be disappointed in you. And Tamina goes, and he goes direct to Tamina, I don't even know what your father would think of what you're doing right now. And I'm like, oh, Paul Heyman's laying down the truth right now. And I thought Tamina was going to kill Paul Heyman for doing a minor Jimmy Snuka reference.
I'm with you, Patchman. I was all the way on the Lana Naomi track until that promo happened. I thought, okay, they're going to put it on Natalya and Tamina. It's set in stone. I don't think there's any more worry about it. It's Natalya and Tamina. And we'll get to that match, the tag title match, in a little bit. All right, up next, it is the Friday Night Messiah, Seth Rollins, taking on Cesaro in a pretty interesting match. This has been built as Cesaro wouldn't take Seth Rollins' Messiah messages, so Seth Rollins has been beating him up, and Cesaro's been swinging him all the time, embarrassing Seth. So this leads to this match here. Patchman, who you got?
Oh, for the love of God, give me Cesaro. I've been talking with my other friends that are big wrestling fans, and they joke about, oh, I'm going to watch this match with my pants off, because we all been waiting for Cesaro to get this big moment. And I think this is possibly the first singles match for Cesaro at Mania, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
I believe that is correct.
Yep, so,
that's correct.
That was weird.
Yep, sorry.
Seth Rollins, it's all right. Seth Rollins has had his moments at WrestleMania. It is time for Cesaro to have his WrestleMania moment.
Mike, do you agree?
I mean, if there was ever a time to give Cesaro a Mania win, this would be it. So I'm going to go with Cesaro, but it wouldn't shock me if Seth Rollins just won this match.
It wouldn't shock me if Seth Rollins won this match, because I definitely think Seth Rollins is winning this match. I think the Cesaro push, it's one of those things where we keep thinking it's going to happen, and every time just nope. Back down the car, you go.
I was called Debbie Downer a couple of years ago when Kofi Mania happened, so now you're the Debbie Downer.
I'm the Debbie Downer now. You were the Debbie Downer with Kofi. Now I'm the Debbie Downer with Cesaro. I've seen it too many times. I've seen this road where they act like this is the moment for Cesaro. Like, oh, you should be grateful that you're getting a match with Seth Rollins at Mania. Like, that's your brass ring. You're not winning. What are you, crazy? I can't buy it yet. I'll believe it when it happens. That's when I'll buy Cesaro winning anything. I can't do it yet. All right. Up next, in arguably what's going to be the worst match of all time, it is Braun Strowman versus Shane McMahon in a steel cage match. I'm saying this right now because I'll go first. Braun Strowman better just murder Shane McMahon. The only way that this match is not a zero-star piece of whatever match is if Braun just walks into the cage, throws McMahon around for 5 minutes, and then just absolutely murders him. That's the only way you're going to get a good rating out of me. If they project this out, or if, God forbid, Shane McMahon wins, you know, I was done with Shane McMahon before, but I'm really going to be done with him if he wins. He'll be ruining another career. Braun has to win this. This has to go to Braun. I'm going to pick Braun Strowman to just murder him. Patrick, what about you?
So you're saying worst WrestleMania match ever. Are we forgetting a few matches that have happened in the past? We got Undertaker versus Giant Gonzalez, where Taker won by DQ due to a chloroform to the face.
Look, that may be worse, but like this would be terrible because it would be slow, prodding, and it would ruin a guy's career.
All right. Two, are we forgetting about Michael Cole and Jerry the King Lawler at WrestleMania 27?
Those are going to be two WWE Hall of Famers right there.
See, I'm going to say this real quick. I don't consider that a match. That was a segment.
It was not a segment. It was three for worst match ever. Are we forgetting about the women's battle royale at WrestleMania 25 where Santina Marella?
Hey! According to our friend Adam, that was the best moment of all time.
All right.
And here's the thing. Mike can back me up on this. He genuinely means it.
He does.
And then didn't WorldCulture.com just do a 5-hour segment of that they think the worst wrestling match ever was Hulk Hogan and Yokozuna?
But again, that wasn't really a match. It was
a match. So
all right, fair enough.
So little history for all the fans out there. But
are we also getting the Brawl for All final?
Who cares about the Brawl for All? We're throwing that out the window right now. That almost came back.
You just insulted Vince Russo.
Fuck Vince Russo sometimes. Vince Russo is a love-hate relationship with myself. But that's a different tangent for a different day. We're talking about WrestleMania right now. Braun Strowman will win this match. The only way I see Shane winning is he's going to get thrown into the cage or he's going to get thrown through the door and he's going to fall out with both feet hitting the ground.
Okay, Mike, what about you?
Shane McMahon's winning this match because he's going to be thrown through a cage wall and both feet hit the floor, or he's going to do what JBL did against the Big Show, crawl from under the ring out the floor.
And he gets sent through the map in the barbed wire steel cage match at No Way Out.
Yeah, listen, basically, they do the same thing they did with The Miz, where he just kind of wins by accident.
We're going to get to that in a moment, too.
Same thing he did against Miz, where it should have just been Shane versus Miz's dad, but that's a whole nother story.
I think you popped harder for that moment because me and Mike were at WrestleMania 35. I think you popped for that moment harder than anything.
I dash Miz's dad for the win.
Oh my god. I was sitting right next to
him. They screwed me on my 6-hour Elias concert.
Yeah, so he wanted payback. He wanted the Miz's dad to take the damn spotlight, which he did. So you're going with Shane McMahon, you said?
I'm going with Shane McMahon. Hate myself for it, but I'm doing it.
Well, if he wins, I'm going to hate everybody. All right. Up next for the Raw Tag Team Championships, the New Day, consisting of Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods, defending against AJ Styles and his bodyguard, Omos. Patch Man, who's walking out the Tag Team Champions?
If Omos doesn't just murder both of them, what's the point of this match? I want to see Omos in action. I just want him to see, like, double choke slam or just powerbomb the shit out of Xavier. But somehow I see... As dumb as it sounds, I see like New Day doing like a double pin on Almost for the win.
Okay. So you're going with the New Day retain. Mike, how about you?
Unfortunately, I see the New Day retain, but I want AJ and Almost to see where they go with this.
I'm going with AJ and Omos. And I think Omos is going to do the bulk of the work, and AJ just gets the glory.
Yeah, I'm going with that too. I'm going with AJ Styles and Omos to take the titles. I think AJ's going to do a lot of the work, like get all the good wrestling in, and then Omos is going to come in and just beat the crap out of both of them. Because why not? That's how you do it. All right, and let's get this terrible match out of the way, which, well, who knows? Could be good, whatever. It's a tag team match as Bad Bunny and Damian Priest team up to take on The Miz and John Morrison. Mike, who you got?
I've got the former 24/7 champion, Bad Bunny and Damian Priest.
Patchman?
I'm unfortunately in the same boat.
I'm in the same boat as well. It's going to be Bad Bunny and Damian Priest. They've been building up Bad Bunny. They gave him the 24/7 championship. You know, it's going to happen. The celebrity never loses. They never, ever, ever lose. Look at all the celebrities that have competed in matches. Not a single one of them lost.
MST
Except Jim Carrey, I think.
Well, but that was a Rumble match. We didn't expect Drew Carey to win the Royal Rumble match.
And he fought Mask.
Got Tombstone twice.
And he fought Mask Kane, who was totally different from without Mask Kane.
Yeah. But yeah, anytime a celebrity has had a straight up match, not a Royal Rumble match, they never lose. They never do. Because why would they do it?
Hell's right. He's got a WrestleMania win.
Yeah, don't remind me.
By the way, Bad Bunny, though, the following Monday Night on Raw is going to fight the winner of the WWE title match.
You know the sad part, Mike? I could see that happening. For some
reason, he's going to win it.
He's going to win the WWE title. All right, well, speaking of the WWE Championship, that match is up next for us as Bobby Lashley with MVP defends against the former champ, well, second former champ, Drew McIntyre. The match we've been waiting for as Drew McIntyre gets a shot to reclaim the title that he lost from the Money in the Bank cash-in. I'm going to go first on this one. This one's weird because I could see this going both ways. I could see them keeping the title on Lashley and letting him have a protracted run, but I also could see him just giving the title back to McIntyre. But I'm going to end up going with Lashley retaining here. I think they want to give Lashley his push that he never got, and I think they're going to give him a long run with the title. So I'm going to go with Lashley retaining here. Mike, do you agree?
I agree, but I am going to say one other thing that I could totally see happening. There could be some interference where someone just beats the crap out of both of them, and that's how the match ends.
Do you think Brock has resigned?
There's a part of me that believes he has.
And they're like, they're keeping it like really, really secret.
They're so keeping it real secret.
That could happen. That could easily happen.
As much as I love McIntyre, and I think most people do, the way he lost the title was so stupid, but, you know. But Lashley just got, you have to do something with Bobby Lashley with the belt.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I say Lashley retains.
Okay. Patrick, what about you?
Bobby Lashley's going to win, and then we're going to get a setup for SummerSlam where we finally get Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar.
Okay. And which, see, that could be the main, now that could be the main event of night one, which we don't know yet, but it sounds like this is going to be the main event of night one as Sasha Banks defends the SmackDown Women's Championship against Bianca Belair. Mike, who's walking out the women's champion, the SmackDown Women's Champion?
Bianca Belair. If you didn't have her win the Rumble, it's Bianca Belair. That's it. It's the EST. She's winning the belt.
Patchman, you agree?
Absolutely.
Yep.
As much as I hate to say it.
Why do you hate to agree with me? But like, there's very few things in life I know, but I've never had people just hate to agree with me so often.
I hate it. I hate agreeing with you, Mike. But I do agree with you. Bianca Belair has to walk out the SmackDown Women's Champion, although unless you like, because then the Rumble victory is pointless. All right, so that completes night one. We move on to night two, and we start with the tag team turmoil match winners facing Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler for the WWE Women's Tag Team Championships. Mike, who you got?
Whoever wins the gauntlet is winning the belts, whether it's Natalya and Tamina or Lana and Naomi. They're going to be the new tag champs.
Absolutely. 100% agree.
100% agree. Whoever wins the turmoil match is taking the titles off Jackson Baszler. Although they'll only hold them for a week and then they'll lose them the next night on SmackDown. All right. Up next for the United States Championship, Matt Riddle, or just Riddle. I'm just going to keep calling him Matt Riddle, defends against the Celtic Warrior, Sheamus. Patchman, who's walking out U.S. champion?
Matt Riddle. Keep the stoner gimmick going.
Okay, Mike, do you agree?
Riddle. And they better start merchandising the scooters Riddle rides, because those things would sell very well.
They would. They really, really would. I'm going to go with Riddle as well. Sheamus doesn't need it, and Riddle needs to be built up a lot more. So he needs a good long reign with the U.S. Championship to really kind of solidify that run. All right, up next we have, I'll explain why I'm so disappointed in this match. We have Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn who with Logan Paul at ringside. I need a quick moment here, guys. I need to rant on this stupid Logan Paul thing, because this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. Why does WWE think to bring in these celebrities all the damn time? Because, like, here's the thing. We joke about Bad Bunny, but at least he's a wrestling fan. He actually cares about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, he actually cares about what's going on. Logan Paul, the last week on SmackDown, could give less than two shits about what he was doing on SmackDown. Like, it was so obvious. I can't say it. Plus, Logan Paul's just a shit person. Yeah, come at me on Twitter. I don't give a crap if you hear this, Logan Paul. You're a shit person. You deserve to be shocked. Whatever. All right. Mike, who wins between Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn?
Kevin Owens. I don't even know the last time Sami Zayn won a match.
I totally agree with you. I just got to say, Kevin Owens is going to beat the crap out of Sami Zayn. There's no way Sami Zayn wins. He's going to use it.
This will go into the documentary.
This will go in the documentary. Patrick, how about you?
Oh, I love this match. But why do we need Logan Paul involved? But Sami Zayn for the win.
I think we're all in agreement that we love this match, and it's only going to get 3 or 4 minutes on the card.
Yeah, it really is. That's all it's going to get. And I'm sad about that. I'm really, really sad about that. Because... All right. Up next, we have for the Intercontinental Championship, it's a Nigerian drum fight. Mike, I know how much you love a Nigerian drum fight.
Unless it's like a drum battle, I have no idea why the hell they just can't call it no disqualifications, if that is what it is.
Because Apollo Crews Nigerian, you gotta make that clear.
I don't care.
You know why? Because you're stupid. You gotta make sure that you know he's Nigerian. No.
If you can't call it a drum fight, there are no drums involved.
Well, there's gonna be drums involved. What are you, stupid? I mean, it's WWE we're talking about. There's gonna be a bunch of drums around ringside.
There's a part where Big E has two cymbals and he does the clap against Cruz's head.
All right. Intercontinental Championship, Big E versus Apollo Crews. Mike, who you got?
Apollo Crews. Big E goes into the Universal title picture.
Patchman, you agree?
What'd you say? I'm sorry, I spaced out.
It's okay. Big E versus Apollo Crews for the Intercontinental title.
Apollo Crews. Why not?
I complete the sweep. I'm going to go Apollo Crews as well. I think Big E needs to go up into the Universal title picture. He needs to be the next challenger for whoever wins the main event. And Apollo Crews, I think, deserves to have an Intercontinental title run and let this new gimmick kind of flourish.
And if Apollo Crews is starting to throw some jabs and right hands in, I want Graves or Cole to start calling him Apollo Creed.
You know they're going to be hit with a massive lawsuit.
Vince could pay it off.
He could. That's a funny thing. He could. All right. Up next, and why it's not a Firefly Funhouse, I don't know. It's The Fiend with Alexa Bliss taking on Randy Orton. Patchman, who you got?
The Fiend. The Fiend's going to just annihilate Randy Orton.
Quick question before you guys answer. I know Patrick already answered, but quick question. Do you think this turns into a Firefly Funhouse match? Like The Fiend drags Orton to a Firefly Funhouse match?
I really hope so, because I want to see the evolution of Randy Orton like they did with Cena last year.
Hmm. Mike, do you think
that would be fun?
It would be a lot of fun. I hope it happens, but who knows?
A Mark Jindrat appearance.
All right. So, Patrick, you're going with The Fiend. Mike, are you going with The Fiend?
Yes.
You think if they do Firefly Funhouse, they'll rewind back to the Bray Wyatt Orton Mania match from a few years ago?
If they do a Firefly Funhouse match, John Cena has to appear. And, like, make him look like he's been trapped in there for, like, a year. He's, like, all disheveled and everything. Like, that would be amazing.
That would be fun.
He technically is all disheveled right now. The man has, like, no muscle right now. He just looks like a frailed version of himself. So it could work.
I know. Like, I wonder if that's why he's doing it. Because they want him to show up and he looks all disheveled. And he's just like, where am I? And, like... They could do this all if they were like, oh, you've been promised to another for so long, and he just brings in Cena, and it's like, oh my god, that'd be amazing. But yeah, I'm gonna go with, oh, go ahead, Mike.
I'm going the Fiend. I think this is the easiest match to pick on the card.
Yeah, easiest match to pick. I'm going to sleep. The Fiend's definitely gonna beat the crap out of Orton. Kind of curious what they do with the Fiend after this, because I don't know what they do with him.
He's going to fight Lashley McIntyre winner.
He doesn't need a title. He shouldn't care about titles.
Let's see, who else could he go after on Raw?
I wonder if he'll go after Roman. Like, kind of just change over. And like, because they did tease the Roman thing a while ago.
Think about this. He's starting... The Fiend has gotten revenge, hypothetically, on... people that kind of buried his momentum as Bray Wyatt, Cena, and Orton. Who's the next one on that list that everyone really got pissed off at? Seth Rollins. We got that Hell in a Cell match where the mallet comes into play, and we ended that match that way, and the whole freaking IWC lost their collective mind. Go ahead.
I could see him doing that, but it wasn't Seth that screwed him over. It was the ref, and like, it wasn't Bray Wyatt who got screwed over. It was the Fiend that got screwed over. So it's like, that would kind of go against the thing. It's like, does the Fiend look out for him, or does he look out for Bray Wyatt?
Corporate Fiend he goes after Shane McMahon.
Just think about it.
The Fiend's out to redeem Bray Wyatt for the past.
Mm-hmm.
He's gotten revenge on Cena from WrestleMania 30. Okay, after that... Yes, we could have thrown Taker in there, but Taker's now retired. So we got Orton from WrestleMania, I think that was 32, if I'm mistaken. 33, where we had the bug incident, where we had bug holograms for some odd fucking reason.
Yeah, it was terrible, but whatever.
So now that's done. That'll be done after this Mania, and now that... last piece is, all right, I need to go after Seth Rollins to avenge Hell in a Cell. And then all of a sudden we're at Super Showdown where, okay, now we're going to give Bray the title when they should have done it the pay-per-view before.
It's an interesting way. Go ahead, Mike.
Or, like, he can go wherever he wants. He appears in NXT and you either have Fiend Cross or you do Fiend Balor.
That could be interesting. Okay. Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing that I just want to say this right now, and I'll put this opinion out there. We have to have, at some point in the next 5 years, there has to be a Firefly Funhouse match of being The Fiend versus Vince. That has to happen. That has to happen. That would be the most watched match and most talked about match of all time. If they did the level of character assassination that they did with Cena to Vince, oh my god, that'd be so fun. That'd be so great.
I think a Firefly Funhouse match with Mick Foley would be fun too.
Oh, Mick Foley would be fun. Taker obviously would be fun. Kane would be fun. You know what? Little spoiler. Next time on the podcast, top 10 dream Firefly Funhouse matches.
All right, I'm down.
Oh, Firefly Funhouse match with the cast of Full House.
Save it, Mike. Save it for your list. All right, moving on. Let's finish up these predictions here. For the next up for the Raw Women's Championship, we have Asuka defending against Rhea Ripley. Ripley debuted about 3 weeks ago on Raw, challenged Asuka for the title, and now we get this match. Fair enough to WWE, because I think they have the Charlotte Flair plans in place, but she has COVID. Best wishes to her and her recovery. So they had to kind of throw something together, so they threw Ripley in, which is a smart move. Give the debuting superstar like some really big momentum here. And I'm going to go first here. I think they're going to put the title on Ripley because they haven't done anything with Asuka yet. I feel like they don't believe in Asuka, and I think Ripley is primed to be a main event player on the main roster. So I think Ripley takes the title here, avenges last year's loss to Charlotte, gets her back on the main roster in a gut punchable way. Mike, how about you?
You said the reason why I'm going with Rhea Ripley, it's to avenge the loss of last year. I think that's the biggest reason to do it. I don't know what they're doing with Asuka. I've been saying that for a long time, but I'm going with Ripley winning the belt.
Patrick, do you agree?
Absolutely. Rhea Ripley. It's time for the rise of Rhea Ripley on the main roster. Long overdue. And, you know, Asuka has to take another back seat again, but she'll still find a way to stay in the mix.
Mm-hmm, definitely. All right, and the main event of WrestleMania, because like I said, it's the main event of night two. It is for the Universal Championship as the Royal Rumble winner Edge and Daniel Bryan compete in a triple threat match against Roman Reigns. So it's Roman Reigns, Edge, and Daniel Bryan in a triple threat match for the Universal Championship. Mike, who walks out Universal Champion?
You went all of this way to have Edge win the Rumble. You can't come this far just to come up short. I'm going with Edge.
Patchman?
It's the return of the rated R superstar. Edge is going to win, but it wouldn't surprise me if WWE is like, haha, no, F you. Daniel Bryan's going to win.
That wouldn't really be an F you, I think, but it would be an F you if Roman won. But
It would be an FU if Bryan won, because Bryan does not need to be in this match.
Well, you could argue that. I definitely think it's Edge winning. I think what they're doing is they're throwing Daniel Bryan in two reasons. They obviously want Edge to pin Daniel so Roman doesn't look weak. He doesn't lose the title by pinfall. And I think what they're doing is I think they are turning Edge heel. That's been pretty obvious the last 3 weeks, which I'm all for. I'm all for Edge going back to being a heel. He's had the year run of being the returning babyface. Like, just, oh, we're so happy to see you. Go back to the rated R superstar, because that was the prime of his career. So I think Edge pins Bryan to win the title. You did the Royal Rumble win. You're turning him heel. They didn't want to do a heel versus heel match, so you throw Bryan in to eat the pinfall from Edge. So I'm going with Edge wins the Universal Championship. All right. So, gentlemen, that is going to do it for our NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver and WrestleMania 37 predictions. Thank you guys so much for joining me. Thank you guys so much for listening. We will catch you guys next time on the Face Turn Podcast. But right now, for Lawrence Patrick and Lang, Mike Punmaster Rifkin, I'm Noah Tremblay signing off, and we'll catch you guys next time.